He sure does. Thank you, Marcia. Now, if you'll turn back again to, in your Bibles to Acts 27 and keep your finger there. There'll be several scriptures that we'll look at. So let's bow in a word of prayer. We've read the scriptures already. Dear Father, now we come to a very important part of the service, and that's the preaching of your word. And I pray for these next few minutes you'll bind Satan from our minds and from our midst. I pray you'll do a work in everybody's heart. Save those who may be lost. Reclaim those who may be backslidden. And do a work in each one of our hearts. Father, hide thy servant behind the cross, so we'll see Jesus only. Amen. One of the reasons of many that I would not like to live in Florida are the hurricanes that they have to put up with. What damage they have caused through the years. Now, I realize that we have some very damaging tornadoes in our own area at times. I thought we had one last night. I remember the tornado that went through Monticello several years ago and the great damage that it did. We drove up to see all the damage that took place, and it was terrible. And then some years ago, there was a tornado that went through Rocheville, and it almost destroyed that little town. And likewise, we drove out there to see the damage that it had done. That happened on a Sunday night, and we were in the basement of the Farm Credit building out on Teal Road. That's where Faith Baptist got their start when the tornado hit Rocheville. And it was very windy, and I thought we might get the tornado there. But in that basement of the Farm Credit building, we were having church, and I felt very safe and secure because I was in church. Then in April of 1994, a tornado hit West Lafayette and picked up little Stephanie Pinnock from her upstairs bedroom where she was sleeping and carried her two blocks down the street where the Lord Jesus was waiting and picked her up and took her to heaven. I conducted her funeral services shortly afterwards. Here in the 27th chapter of the book of Acts, we see a great storm. As we put names on hurricanes today, they put names on great storms back in those days. Look at the 27th chapter in verse 14. But not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. That storm lasted 2 weeks. Look in verse 27. But when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down Adria, about midnight the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country. Storms come into every one of our lives, and sometimes they last a long time, and we wonder, will they ever end? I want to show you this morning, even though your storm may last a long time, you can survive. Notice Paul's words of encouragement to those aboard ship when things look so very bad. Look in verse 22. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. Then he told them why he was so encouraged concerning their safety. Look at beginning in verse 23 and following. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, for thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all of them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, even as it was told me. Paul said, God has told me we're going to survive this storm. It won't be easy, and we're all going to have to put in some effort ourselves. But God said we would all survive, and I believe God. Regardless of the circumstances, I believe God. Regardless of the condition we find ourselves in, I believe God. Regardless if the ship makes it or not, and it probably won't, I believe God. What an encourager Paul was to those fearful men. I like that great leader. That's the kind of pastor I want. An encourager who tells me we will make it no matter what. Our destination as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ is heaven. And my Bible tells me we will make it no matter how rough or how many storms come between now and then. We will make it safely. Dear folks, that's God's promise. And I believe God. Paul was not afraid of the hurricane called Euroclydon because he believed God. Paul could not promise them that the old ship on which they were sailing would make it, but he did promise that all would survive. It might be difficult in making it to shore, but they would all make it, even if some of them had to swim, and of course, many of them did. On the 14th night, things looked far worse than when the storm first started. Men on board decided that they were going to sink, so they let a boat down into the water to pick up some of the people and put them in the boat to get them to safety. There were 276 people on board that ship. Look in Acts 27 and verse 37. And we were all in the ship, 215 souls. And there was not enough room on that little boat that they let down in the water to save all of them. It couldn't hold them all. So Paul said to the captain of the ship, look at verse number 31. Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. So they decided to stay on the old ship and listen to Paul's advice. He told them that everything was going to be okay, and it was time for them to get something to eat. Let's pick it up at verse 34 and following. Wherefore, I pray you, take some meat, for this is for your health. For there shall not an hair fall from the head of any of you. And when he had spoken these things, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. Paul wasn't ashamed to bow his head and thank God for the food, something probably most of us don't do. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then another tragedy struck. The ship began to fall apart. Look at the last part of verse number 41. But the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. That day, 276 people learned how to swim. Let's pick it up, verse 43. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and to get to land, and the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. Some of them swam, stroking their arms and feet, and no doubt with their hearts quivering. Some of them grabbed on a broken piece of the ship and rowed them to shore. As the 276 struggled for dear life, I imagine Paul kept on encouraging them. You can make it. It isn't that far to shore. You can make it. Just don't quit. We're all going to make it because I believe God. When they got safely to shore, they took a head count. And guess what? They all made it just as God had promised Paul. Look at the last part of verse 44. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. No one perished in the storm. And that's God's promise to you and me. Some will make to heaven with only minor storms that will hinder them. Some will have greater storms and will have to swim on shore. Some will have a life full of storms and may have to grab a hold of the piece of a vessel and ride it safely to heaven. But we will make it safely. This old ship called America is in desperate need this morning. And it's about to go down if something doesn't happen soon. Churches are not what they used to be. Churches are so different than when I went into the ministry 42 years ago. Fundamentalism is not what it used to be. I am a fundamentalist. And every day I pray for revival to come to this country and spare this ship from going down. This old ship may go down, and it will. If things don't happen soon, it's going to happen. If wickedness and sin and some sanity of life don't return, this old ship's going to go down. And if it does, I'm going to grab a hold of a piece of the vessel and we'll get to my destination safely because God has promised it so. All that pleases me in this life is only for a moment. On those rare times when our immediate family get together, sometimes once a year, and maybe if we're lucky, twice a year, it seems like the time goes by so fast and the time together is quickly gone. All that troubles me is just for a moment. The thing that is really important are those things that will last for all of eternity. I can remember back in January 1996, I was visiting sweet Mary Louise Smith in the hospital. What a precious person she was. I have got so many people on the other side. It's unbelievable. The other day, I took out one of our very old directories and was going through it. And we found 48 names in that old directory that had gone, people had gone to heaven. And no doubt there's many, many more because we've lost track through a lot of them through these 42 years. So I prayed with her and I said, I'll see you tomorrow, Mary Louise. And she said very clearly, Pastor, I won't be here tomorrow. And I said, you won't? You won't be here tomorrow? Are you going to return to the nursing home? She said, no, I'm not. I said, Mary Louise, are you going to go home to heaven tonight? And she said, yes. And Mary Louise Smith grabbed a hold of a broken piece of the old vessel and made it through the greatest storm of her entire life. Shortly later, she arrived safely on the heavenly shores of her eternal home. I wonder how many of those 276 souls on board that ship with Paul, when they had jumped ship and landed in the water and had to swim or were holding on to one of the broken pieces of the ship, maybe they were thinking, I sure have wasted my life. And now my life may be end, and I have got nothing to show for it. Oh, the tragedy of a wasted life. Have you wasted your life on the temporal things of this world and have nothing to show for eternity? Have you lived all of your life for self? Some, no doubt, in the water that day had. They probably said, somebody help me. Somebody give me a piece of the ship that I can hold on to and save my life from perishing. Maybe there were some besides Paul who kept encouraging the others. Keep on swimming. Keep on holding on to the broken piece of vessel. Don't let go. We are all going to make it. Are you that kind of a Christian? If so, we need you so very badly. God needs you. God needs some encouragers. Go on. Keep on. Don't give up. Don't quit. And even if churches are not what they used to be, and even if fundamentalism is not what it used to be, grab a hold of a piece of the old vessel, and maybe God will turn things around. He can, you know. If enough of us keep on praying, if enough of us keep faithful, if enough of us keep on witnessing, if enough of us keeps on encouraging, if enough of us keeps on believing, fundamentalism will never die. The church will not die. And if the Lord tarries, we can leave this old ship of ours to our kids and grandchildren in good shape. Maybe you have a broken heart this morning. My message to you is this. Look at verse 22. Be of good cheer. Verse number 24, fear not. Verse 25, be of good cheer. Believe God. Do you know someone who's sinking? Do you know someone who's discouraged? Do you know someone who's about to throw in the towel and quit? Then hand them a piece of the broken vessel and tell them to hang on and don't give up. Give them the hope that comes from this book we call the Bible. Tell them that salvation is based on the shed blood of Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. Tell them of a home in heaven for those that accept Christ as Lord and Savior. Give them hope. Give them something to hang on, even if it's broken. How many of you know the little song, Everything's All Right in My Father's House? Any of you out there know that? Sing it with me, would you please? Everything's all right in my Father's house, in my Father's house, in my Father's house. Everything's all right in my Father's house, where there's joy, joy, joy. Grab a hold of the broken vessel and ride it till you get to the heavenly shore. The battles we face in this world are not here in the church house. Oh, what a great place to be every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, like some of you folks used to do. I love to be here with you, dear folks, but the battle's not here in this great church. The battle is out there in the schools. The battle is out there in the factories. The battle is out there in the offices. The battle is out there in the neighborhoods. And you'd better get a hold of the broken piece of the vessel if you're going to make it. The storm is not in this room. The storm is outside this building. But listen, dear folks, if you don't get a hold of what is preached and taught in this building, you're not going to make it outside this building. Maybe some of you need to get a hold of a broken vessel of standards. Please tell me why Christian men need to wear ladies' earrings in their ears and on many other parts of their bodies and do other things detrimental that should not be done to bodies. Why do both sexes have to show off their bodies that causes both sexes to lust after each other? Why don't Christians put some standard in their lives and live godly instead of like the ungodly? That is just one reason why the old ship is sinking. That's just one reason why the vessel is broken. That is why the church doesn't have its influence on people that it once had. There's very little difference today between the godly and the ungodly in many instances. There's no difference between the Christians and the unchristians so much today. Why do people need Christ anyway? There's no difference. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, please, for just a moment. Page 1233 in your King James Scofield Bible. 2 Corinthians 5. Look at verse 17 with me, please. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation, a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Changes take place when you are in Christ. We need so badly some Christians made out of the same material that Susanna Wesley was made out of. We need so badly some Christians to be made out of the same material her two sons, John and Charles, were made out of. We are letting thousands die every day, and we could care less if they're saved or not. We could care less about witnessing to them or inviting them to church. Are you on the old ship of Zion, or are you riding on the old devil ship? If you are on the old ship of Zion, you have a guarantee from the Word of God that you will make through the storms. You'll go through the storms, even no matter what you've got to go through, you can do it. I'm a Baptist, and I'm proud of it. I'm not a Pentecostal. I'm not a Lutheran. I'm not a Methodist. I'm not a Catholic. I'm a Baptist. I'm not saved because I'm a Baptist. I'm saved because of Jesus Christ, but I'm a Baptist because of conviction. The first sermon ever preached in the New Testament was preached by a Baptist. His name was John. And the main theme of his preaching was repent. Oh, how we need to repent today. If anything good ever comes back to our country, to our churches, to our homes, to our government, it will be because of the blessed old gospel. That's the only thing that will float to shore when nothing else floats to shore. Now, I'm not talking about your good works. Your good works can't get you to heaven. I'm not talking about your baptism. Your baptism can't get you to heaven. I'm not talking about your church of membership. You can join every church in the world, and it's not going to get you to heaven. I'm talking about your eternal soul being saved by the precious blood of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. We have a generation of I don't care today. I don't care about rules. I don't care about standards. I don't care about convictions. I don't care about witnessing. I don't care what the pastor says. Just let me live and leave me alone. Is there anyone out there that does care? Is there anyone out there that will get a hold of a broken piece of a vessel and hang on and keep holding on until God does something again? Will you volunteer to encourage somebody? Will you volunteer to tell somebody about Jesus Christ? Will you volunteer to keep on praying until God opens the windows of heaven and pours out his blessings once again and people repent and do right and get some character back into their lives and hope into our beloved nation? Are you one? Will you be one? God's counting on you. Let's bow in prayer together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious word. And sometimes it's hard to handle. Sometimes it's hard to receive. But we need to. Oh, if ever our nation needed to repent, it's today. If this old ship's not going to go down, it will if we don't repent. How we need to do that. I need to do that. And there may be some in this good crowd this morning that they've never been saved. They've never been born again. They've never accepted Christ as Lord and Savior. They're depending upon their good works. They're depending upon their baptism. They're depending upon their church membership, these things to get them to heaven, and it won't get them there. It's Christ and Christ alone. I pray if there's some here that doesn't know you as personal Savior, that they'll come to know you, that they'll respond to the invitation and give their hearts and lives to Christ. Bless the invitation as we go into it now, as only you can do. Once again, I ask you to save those who are lost, reclaim those who are backslidden, and do a work in all of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.